Masechtas Peah, Parah Gimel, Mishnah Vav. The Mishnah describes the minimum size that the field needs to be obligated in Peah. Rabbi Eliezer says, Karka Beis Reva, a land that's the size for planting a Reva. Reva literally means a quarter. It's referring to a quarter of a Kav. The Rav says that this is 10 Amos by 10 by 10 and a half Amos. So such a land size is chayevis bepeah, is obligated in peah. Rabbi Shua says ha'isa sasayim, whatever land that can produce sasayim, which is two saw, a saw is six kav, and a kav has 24 eggs within it. So two saw is two times six kav times 24 eggs. That's a lot. So that needs to produce that much produce of two saw in order to be a size that would be obligated in peah. Reb Tarfon says shisha tvachim, considerably smaller, six by six tvachim is already land that's obligated in peah. Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseir Aymer, he says even smaller, kedei lixer velishneis, the amount that it would take to do one action of harvesting and then repeating the planting process. The action of harvesting was grabbing a handful of stalks, then cutting it. So it needs to be one handful full in order to a land that can produce one handful full of stalks that will be obligated in peah. V'alacha kedvarav, and we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda ben Basira on that size, one handful, one harvesting handful full. Rabbi Kiva says even smaller. He says karka kol shehu, a karka of any size, even the smallest possible size, is chayevis bepeah, is obligated in peah. Ooh, bibikurim, and it's also obligated in bikurim, which is bringing in Eretz Yisrael, bringing from the seven species of Eretz Yisrael to the Beis Hamikdash, the first fruit that grow. The Rav explains that it's specifically referring to wheat and barley that grow on stalks, and so then any small teeny area of land that can grow a stalk is going to be obligated in bikurim. However, the fruit trees, they're going to require more space, and that's not discussed here. And also, Rabbi Kiva says that any small size of land, the smallest size possible, is good enough. The lifte v'leh, prizbul. It's enough to write a prizbul document. A prizbul is a document that allows a loan to be collected even after Shemitah. The Shemitah year passes, and normally the loans can't be collected. But when a prizbul is written, the loan could be collected. And the borrower needs to own karka, needs to own land. And even Rabbi Kiva says even the small size land is sufficient for that need. And another thing is liknais ima nechasim she'en lamacharis bekesef shtar v'chazaka. Regarding kinyanim, actions of acquiring, so there's a kinyan that can be done with karka, with land, in order to be kind of nechasim she'en lamacharis. Movable items, metaltalin, can be acquired with land when you do kesef shtar and chazaka, three different forms of acquisition on the karka, either with kesef, with money, with shtar, with the document, with chazaka, certain actions that show ownership on the land. So by doing that on the land, it will also acquire the metaltalin, the movable items with the land. And Rabbi Kiva is saying any small, teeny size of land is good enough for this kinyan to acquire things through this land. Mishnah Vav. The Mishnah discusses other things that the smallest amount of land would suffice for the requirement of having land. The Mishnah says, Hakesiv Nechasiv Shchimira. If a Shchimira, someone who's deathly ill, he writes away as a gift all of his Nechasim, all of his property. So the halacha is that if he gets better, then the gift is not binding, because he didn't do it intending that he was going to get better. He did it intending that he was going to die and he wouldn't need anything. So when he gets better, the gift is not binding. Shir karka kolshu, but if he left behind for himself any little bit of karka, of land, then matnasa matana, even if he got better, the gift of all the rest of his property is binding and it's a good gift. Because we see by the fact that he left behind something for himself that he was already entertaining the possibility of recovering, and And he gave the gift even knowing that he would possibly recover. But Loishir Karka Kolshu, if he did not leave over for himself any land whatsoever, and he gave everything away in the gift, then if he gets better, Ein Matnasa Matana, the Matana, the gift, is not binding because he did not expect to get better, and had he known he would get better, he never would have given away all of his property. Another similar case, Hakaisev Nechasev Labanov, this is also talking about a Shchimiras, owner who's deathly ill. He writes away all his property to specific children that he's designating who's going to get what. Because of Leishtei Karka Kolshu, and he also designated a small area of land for his wife that she can have. And she remains silent and accepts that piece of land, and she's happy with it. Her silence is going to cause, that says the Mishnah, Ibda Ksubasa, she's going to lose, she forfeits the right to her Ksuba, because her silence accepting that piece of land, along with what's being given out to the sons, she's accepting this instead of her Ksuba, and she can no longer collect the full value of her Ksuba from anywhere else. Rabbi Yasi says, Im Kibla Aleh, if she accepts this upon herself verbally, even though her husband, the father, did not actually write this in any document, in any gift document, still, just the verbal exception that she accepted upon herself, Ibdu Ksubasa, that's enough that she loses her Ksuba. By accepting that land, she's accepting that's what she's taking and no other land for her Ksuba. So in these cases in the Mishnayos, any little bit of land is enough, like we said in the last Mishnah, and even the smallest amount meets the requirements for having land for these halachas.